Can you get me, Casey? There, well, yeah, definitely. It's hot. Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. It's a blessing to share the word of the Lord. I wanted to open up with a question. Do you believe your Bible? So you guys can raise your hands if you believe your Bible. Everybody's going to put their hand up because everybody wants to put their hand up in a group, but I sure hope you mean it. I'm going to test you on that. We're actually going to get into 1 Corinthians 15 and just barely scratch the surface this morning, but before we do, let's deal with the question of, do you believe your Bible? I'm going to try this thing out. Casey, am I just hitting arrows? Technical. Should it be ready? No. Okay. You'll have to flip it? Okay. All right. I have a screen in front of me, so that'll help me to make sure you're tracking with me. Okay, so do you believe in unicorns? If you believe in unicorns, put your hand up. Well, not very many hands. Well, if you say you believe your Bible, you should believe in unicorns. Unicorn is mentioned 9 times in your Bible. The horn of the unicorn is referenced 3 times in your Bible. So now what do you think? Gonna believe your Bible? God compares his strength to the strength of a unicorn. Is God weak? No, God is not weak. Therefore, there must be a unicorn, right? You're probably thinking, this guy's kind of crazy. He's probably just mythical unicorns out there. They're not really real. In Numbers 23, slide 3, Numbers 23, 22, God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. So God's comparing his strength to that of a unicorn. So why would God compare his strength to the unicorn if the unicorn wasn't real? If we flip through, we can see the unicorn will be willing to serve thee. The unicorn, will the unicorn be willing to serve thee? This is obviously an unruly beast, and God's comparing control and authority over this guy that's got this great big horn on his face. Okay, where am I going with this? Unicorns are mentioned 9 times in the Bible. The horn is talked about 3 times. There's some significance to it. I'm skipping over all my notes here. Many modern scholars like to throw this one away as a fairy tale or as a mythology. They like to say it's a mistranslation. It's a word that actually shouldn't have been uni, meaning one, and corn being the horn. It really was a big old ox, an ancient ox called the Oryx, which has got its own mythology and pagan rituals, etc. But that doesn't make sense because God is not man that he should lie. God is not a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. So are we going to believe modern scholars and their idea that it's actually just a big old ox? Or does it have one horn coming out of its head? And was there really a big beast with a horn in its head? If you can slip over to slide number 9. Now, do you believe? Elasmotherium sibiricum. Elasmotherium means thin plate beast. It is also known as the Siberian unicorn. Scientists will push this into the Pleistocene period, but we know, because we believe our Bibles, that there's no such thing as a Pleistocene period. These critters were walking around, tromping around back in the day. When we had people writing scriptures, and there's a unicorn for you right there. Now, do you believe in unicorns? We have skeletons of these guys. They were real. Whether there are some hiding somewhere in this planet, I don't know, but they were real, and God compared his strength to them. And that guy, he's a pretty tough guy. Got a lot of muscle on him. So, anyway, I hope now to throw away some doubt when you read about unicorns and dragons and giants and all these fantastical things in your Bible, which are all true. The horn, if we go to slide 11, the horn of the unicorn was estimated to grow between 1 to 2 meters long. So we're talking about up to, you know, that long. So somewhere between here and there on these things. We're talking about a very big, prominent structure on his face. And he would push. The Bible says actually that he pushes. So anyway, we're going to get into 1 Corinthians 15, which is the meat and potatoes of this morning. And I hope that kind of excites you for your Bible. Excites me. Next time, maybe I'll mention dragons or giants or something. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15. If you want to open your Bibles, I'm going to have scriptures on the screen, but, you know, the sound of those pages scares Satan away, I think, right? Just keep flipping those pages over. Okay, I heard that one before, so I like it. All right. Heavenly Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you would bless us as we open your word. We want to gain understanding, we want to gain wisdom, and we want to know what your plan is for us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to read about the first half. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. Next slide. For I am the least of the apostles, and am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ is not risen, then is our preaching vain. And your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then Christ is not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they which are at Christ's coming, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all power, and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. That was like half the chapter, so it takes a long time to get through. Okay, in verse 1, sorry for the loud there. In verse 1, 1 Corinthians 15, Paul states that he is about to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul is in fact obeying his life mission, which he explained in Romans 1. He was called to be an apostle of Jesus for the purpose of declaring the gospel. This is Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. That was his calling. So What's he doing? He's declaring the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel that Paul is preaching is the word of God, which leads people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The word of God that leads people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 19:16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. So Paul was absolutely compelled to go out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to tell people of the saving knowledge of Jesus. In Mark, very first line of Mark, he says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark opens his book by stating that he is writing the gospel. The gospel is, simply put, the message from God which will cause men and women to put their faith in God. Should they choose to listen to it? Should they choose to listen to it? Reading my notes bad. In Romans 10:17, we are told that faith cometh by hearing the word of God. Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye have trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Although Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are considered the gospels of Jesus Christ, Paul says that the gospel is the word of truth. Paul stating that the word of God is the gospel. So, really, this whole thing is the gospel. Okay? Not just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, like we call it the gospel. This whole thing is the gospel. So, I started with, do you believe your Bible? Is if you don't believe your Bible, how are you going to have faith? And it's faith that gets you saved, right? Well, you have to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, according to Hebrews 11, verse 6. Mark 1:15 says, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So what's salvation? Repent and believe. Two things. If you walk away with nothing else, leave here with repent and believe. You know, there's a common misconception that everybody who comes to church and sits in the chairs regularly is saved. I don't know if you're saved. You don't know if I'm saved. So I'm telling you what the gospel is, so that if you don't know, then you can leave here and be, you can leave here with the confidence that you could repent and trust in Jesus Christ and be saved. And if you have been saved already, glory to God, go tell somebody else. Okay? It's good for us to have that little reminder to go tell other people how to get saved. Remember the parable of the sower, who went out to sow seeds. Seeds fell in all types of growing media, but only one grew to bear fruit. According to Luke 8, that seed is the word of God. Those who will hear the word of God with good soil hearts will grow faith and produce good fruit in their lives. The gospel of Jesus Christ is summed up as, because of the depravity of mankind, the sinfulness of each of our hearts, God the Father sent his only begotten Son into the world as a baby by conception of the Holy Spirit through a virgin. Jesus grew to become a man and at the age of 33 died on a cross and was buried in an unused tomb. After 2 days, or the morning of the third day, Jesus rose from the dead because death had no power on him. That's what we read in the chapters. According to the scriptures, he rose again. Right? After 40 days, Jesus ascended up to heaven to be with the Father. 10 days later, the Holy Spirit filled his disciples for the furtherance of the gospel, and about 3,000 people chose to believe in Jesus in one single day. Those who repent of their sins and trust in Jesus for their salvation from the wrath of God will be saved, and they will be changed forever. Jesus had promised to return soon, gather up his people, both of the Jews and of the Gentiles, who have repented of their sins and put their trust in Jesus. At that time, he will restore the kingdom of heaven and cleanse the earth, and he will vanquish his enemies. Slide 21. Remember what Mark said about the beginning In the first verse of his gospel, he said, the beginning of the gospel, right? The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I think Mark has given us a little hint here. I think the hint is that we need to look at the beginning. And the beginning, by the beginning I mean Genesis chapter 1. What happens in Genesis chapter 1? God creates the heavens and the earth. The beginning of the world demonstrates God's creative power through his word. Remember that Paul called the gospel the word of truth. The third verse of Genesis states that, and God said. So if you read in there, Genesis 1:1-3, it says, In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, who is that? You guys can respond, it's okay. And God said, who is that? It's Jesus. And God said is the word. God said, that's speaking. That's the word, that's Jesus. So you saw God the Father create, you saw the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, and you saw, and God said, that's Jesus. First three verses of your Bible, that's the Godhead. That's the Trinity. Right there, boom. Remember that Jesus is the Word. According to John 1:1-3, he is in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Funny how John starts his with in the beginning as well as Mark, talking about the Gospels. Revelation 19:13 calls him the Word of God. Not very long after God created the world and everything in it, man went ahead and messed it all up. God very clearly told Adam in Genesis 2:15-17, not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He warned them that if they did, they would surely die the very same day. In fact, this here is really the first part of the gospel. God is making a promise to judge sin. So gospel, we usually say, is good news, right? We say, well, gospel equals good news, except here it starts off with bad news. If you sin, you're going to die. That's actually like the first part of the gospel. If you sin, you will die. In Genesis 2:15, it says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, But of the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Okay, that's the first part of the gospel. If you're going to break my commandments, you're going to die. There would be absolutely no point in sending his son to be the savior of the world if there was nothing to save them from. So without sin, there's no point in having a savior come because we wouldn't have anything to be saved from. First, Satan embodying the spirit causes Eve to doubt the word. Remember, the word is the gospel. To doubt the word by saying, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So what is Satan's first tactic to get us away from the gospel? Did God really say that? Are you sure that God really means what he's saying? Is there really a unicorn out there? Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast in the field which the Lord God had made. He said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Or ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. That's how it's said. Then Eve, who is a type or shadow of the church, the bride of Christ, responds by telling the serpent that they're not permitted to eat the fruit. The problem is that Eve goes one step further and adds to the word of God. We're not supposed to add to the word of God, right? Revelation 22, don't add, don't take away. If you do, it's big and bad. She adds to the word of God. What does she say? She says, neither shall you touch it. God didn't say that. God said, they you eat. Didn't they say anything about touching? They you eat. But of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. So she's adding, not good. So Satan causes Eve to doubt the validity of God's word. Then Eve adds to God's word. I just said that. And then Satan pulls no punches. In 46 words, the devil tells Eve that God doesn't really have her best interest at heart, and that if she would eat of the tree, she would evolve to be like a god. Now that's a fairy tale, to be evolved to be like a god. That's Satan's idea of the fairy tale. According to Isaiah 14, 12 to 14, that is actually Satan's plan for himself, to evolve into God. As the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God doth know in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Eve is duped. She believes the devil instead of God, and she offers it to her husband. Adam took the fruit from her and noticed that Eve was not dead. Wait a second. Didn't God say, the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die? But she's not dead. So what? Is God a liar? I think we already established that God is not a man that he should lie, right? Let God be true and every man a liar. So what's the truth of it? Eve wasn't dead. If she wasn't dead, maybe God wasn't being honest with him. So he doesn't believe the gospel, and I think right there is Adam's sin. Number one, it wasn't that he ate the fruit that second. Number one was he didn't believe God. What does it take to be saved again? To repent and to believe. So what got him unsaved in the first place? What got him in trouble in the first place? Not believing. Adam didn't believe the word of God, didn't believe the gospel that God told him in the beginning. So he commits a form of sin called iniquity. Iniquity is inside of us. And then he transgresses by eating the fruit. That's the outside sin. This is a foreshadow of the gospel because we are Eve. Yeah, we're the church. We're Eve. We have fallen into temptation, and the result would have been death. Our husband Jesus took our sin and died in our place. Just like Eve handed the fruit to Jesus Christ, or handed the fruit to Adam, it's like us giving our sin over to Jesus. So the picture of the gospel starts in the beginning, doesn't it? Right? You're going to die if you don't listen to what I say. They don't listen to what he says. There's got to be some kind of plan coming, right? As a side note, the voice of God was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. I'll read this here. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that was pleasant to the eyes, that's my warning. Pleasant to the eyes. Oh, I lost it here. And a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked, and sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Again, the voice of God, it's walking. So who's the voice of God? You could say it out loud. It's Jesus Christ, right? He's the Word. He's the voice of God walking. I saw that last night. I had to add it in there. That was just amazing nuggets you can find in Scripture. Amazing truths. The voice of God is walking. Eve was tempted with all three kinds of sin. The three kinds of sin are the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. She says she looked on that fruit and it looked good, thought it would taste good, and would make her wise. Pride of life. So she was tempted to all three. Incidentally, the enemy, Satan, he does the same tactic with us. It hasn't changed. In fact, he did the same thing with Jesus in the desert. Do you remember in the desert? Jesus is in the desert and he's in there 40 days, 40 nights, and after that he's getting tempted by Satan. And what does Satan come at him with? He says, you're hungry. Why don't you turn that stone into bread? Huh? He takes him up to a high hill and says, bow to me and you can have all this. He takes him up to the top of a temple and says, fall off, and the angels will hold you up. He tempts him with the same three things. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Except Jesus was without sin. Did he fall into that temptation? No. Eve did, and who else did? Put your hand up again. I did. I fell into that temptation. Who else? Come on, admit it. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? Amen? right? Yeah, really, if you have told a lie, you're called a told one lie, liar. Okay, if you've committed adultery, you're an adulterer. If you've killed someone, you're a murderer. It only takes one time, right? One time to be a murderer. You killed somebody, one time. So we take one sin, that's it. What is the promise that he gave to Adam with for breaking one commandment? The day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. The day. And I just want to point out, you know how to fight temptation like that? In Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. What is the Spirit? According to John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. That means to give life. The flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. So, if you don't want to fall into temptation, what do you need to do? Read your Bible. Keep it in front of you. Study your Bible. Stay in the Bible. Right? And the Holy Spirit will fill you, abide in you. Okay? The Spirit gives life through the gospel, the words of Christ. And if his word is in you, ye will abide in him and be able to fight temptation. You guys can say amen now, right? Keep the word of God in you. Genesis 3:9-10, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard a voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now, you'll probably agree that the elephant in the room at this point is they're still alive. God said, the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die, and they are still alive. So why are they still alive? Some teachers have taught, well, they died spiritually. That's what it was. They died spiritually, the curses come, and that's it. And they went on spiritually dead. But if God's Spirit is what gives life, and when Adam had his nostrils breathed into, he was a lump of dirt. Adam was a formed lump of dirt. God breathed into his nostrils his Spirit. He became a living soul. Body, soul, spirit. Whose spirit's in him? In Adam. God's Spirit's in him. He breathed his Spirit into him. What if you took God's Spirit away from a living thing? What's going to happen? He's going to die. So Adam doesn't... 12 o'clock. I'll rush to the end now. So... why aren't they dead? It's not because God took his Spirit away from them or they died spiritually. Because they would be completely dead at that point if they did. It's because God is not a liar. How old was Adam when he died? 930 years old. 70 years shy of 1,000. What's a day unto the Lord? According to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, be not ignorant of this, brethren, that 1,000 years is like unto a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. Adam died before making 1,000 years. Was God accurate in what he said? 100%. The beginning, that creation week, how many days did God create the world in? 6 days and rested on the seventh day. Okay? Rested on the seventh day, 6 days. What is that a picture of? That is a picture of the seventh day is the Sabbath. That's a picture of 1,000 years that's coming. Because a day unto the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. There's 1,000 years coming. It's called the millennial reign of Christ. That's a time of rest on the earth. Where is Satan during that time? He's bound up in hell. He's bound up and held off of the earth for 1,000 years, and it's going to be a time where God has purged all that sin and awful stuff on the earth, and it's going to be a time of rest. Where are we at from history right now? We're close to the end of 6,000 years. Think about that. 6 days God created the world. Seventh day is the Sabbath. We're almost there. And if we're almost there, that means that Jesus is coming soon, right? If Jesus is coming soon, and you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, You haven't repented and trusted in him. Why are you waiting? If you know somebody that hasn't done that, why aren't you telling them? Because if Jesus Christ is coming again, what follows Jesus coming again? Actually, as Mark pointed out this morning, what happens before? A false Christ will rise up, that people will go, oh, look, oh, lo, there is Christ. Oh, lo, there he is. People will be fooled by him. A great deception is coming that most people will believe. But elect, those who trust in Jesus, they won't believe it. Because Jesus says, if someone says, lo, there is Christ, don't believe him. So, Jesus will come after the son of perdition, the beast, the Antichrist, has been demonstrated who he is. Jesus will come, gather up his bride, that's the church, that's those who believe and trust in him and repent of their sins, take them home. Then what's going to happen is God's going to start pouring out his wrath on the earth. So, that's not far away. And what could be sooner is that you could drive home from here today, and a car could T-bone you, and you could be put in the hospital on critical care and then die in the hospital bed. That could happen. Or something could happen to one of your neighbors. So you ought to tell them, or you, if you haven't made the decision, ought to trust in Jesus Christ for your salvation today. So how did Jesus save us? What's the gospel? He paid the price for our sins. He took that punishment for us. All of God's wrath was poured on him for our sins. He took that suffering. He bore on the cross. He died. And you know what this book is? I kind of realized it yesterday. This is God's last will and testament. You know, when you write your will, you go write your will so that you're going to give an inheritance to somebody. Look up the word inheritance in your Bible. It comes up a lot. What is our inheritance? If we receive what God has for us, that is that we will be saved if we repent and trust in him, then we are the inheritors of his last will and testament. And he died. Jesus died. That means his last will and testament is now unfolding for us. So, I encourage you, if you haven't made a decision for Jesus and you come to church, which is a good, faithful thing to do, then you need to get into your Bible and you need to repent from your sins. Say, Lord, just help me to just give this stuff to you. And he'll tell you, he'll show you. And then trust in him for salvation, because Jesus paid that price. He rose again. He's making a place for you if you trust in him. He's going to come get you. Even if you're dead, because this chapter actually goes on further to discuss that if you're already in the ground, it's called sleep in Christ, he's still going to pull you out. Actually, he gets to pull you out first. Then he gets those who are alive and remain. So, do that. If you have a neighbor, a friend, and you're having trouble telling them, I do. I have trouble with those people who, like, I've been burned. I don't want to know the gospel. I don't want to hear what you have to say. I think it's time for us probably to step out and say, listen, I just have something really important I got to tell you. You know, like, you know that you've sinned. You can ask somebody a question and say, have you ever told a lie? Have you ever looked on a woman with lust or a man with lust? Have you ever stolen anything, even if it's very small? If you have, then you've sinned against the living God. And his standard was, if you break the one commandment, that day you shall surely die. The one commandment. We have 10 commandments before us. Actually, as believers, we got back down to 2. Love God, love your neighbor. Just 2. Right? So if you have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God, get right with God. And the only way to do that is not by your own works. It's by letting the Holy Spirit show you what you need to repent of and trust in him. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity to come up here and share your word. And thank you that I had faithful people here that are listening. And I pray that they would be hearers and doers of the word. I pray that they would repent and trust in you. If they haven't already, I trust that many and most here actually have, and that you will encourage them to go and tell others. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Have fun at lunch, fellowshipping.